This song changed the world. Well, a world, the world of a cappella. It's Usher's Yeah, and it was sung on stage by Divisi, the women's a cappella group from the University of Oregon. They wowed a crowd at Lincoln Center with this performance in 2005. Many felt they was robbed of that year's International Championship for Collegiate A Cappella, ICA, if you please. It's just one of many dramas that play out in the new book, Pitch Perfect, The Quest for Collegiate A Cappella Glory, by Mickey Rapkin. The book weaves together the stories of three a cappella groups during the 2006-2007 academic year and takes us toward the ICCA competition where Divisi tries to claim the title. Mr. Rapkin joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what was it about that song that shook up the a cappella world?
I think it was just Divisi comes out on stage at Lincoln Center and they're an all-female a cappella group and all of a sudden they're singing Usher's Yeah and they're dancing and they're sounding great and looking great. And it was just this thing you hadn't seen before about a female a cappella group who could really rock out like that and really make an R&B song their own. And people just sort of stood up at attention and it just changed the way people looked at what you could do in competition.
There was a controversy over the judging, too.
Yeah, there was this. Basically, everyone in the audience thought Divisi had run away with it. Which, what a shock that was for a female a cappella group singing Usher's Yeah on stage at Lincoln Center. Like, they'd walked away with it. And then the judging comes back, and they'd gotten second place. And they couldn't believe it, and they were devastated. And they're looking at the score sheets, and they were basically blackballed by the one female judge, of all things, from Juilliard, who didn't say anything very specific in her comments about the performance, but was the only judge who didn't place them first, basically. She placed them fourth. And after that year, the people running the ICCAs changed the rules. So they would, basically like the Olympics, they would throw out the top score and the bottom score so that no one judge could affect the outcome again like that. So it really did change the competition.
And to make this this review of the a cappella landscape really interesting, there's money to be made, isn't there?
Oh, there's big money. I mean, groups like the Crocodillos from Harvard could make $300,000 in a school year. The Hullabaloos did a big gig at the 2004 Republican National Convention, and they made $13,000 in 3 days. I mean, really unbelievable amounts of money for floating around these groups.
Let me get you to talk about the Bubs now, if we could.
Sure, of course. The Tufts Beelzebubs were founded 45 years ago. Their founder actually went on to fight in the Vietnam War, and he told this amazing story about how when he left campus, he was on the USS Telugu off the South China Seas, and he was waiting to hear word from campus to see if his group that he started still existed. And one day he gets this manila envelope on the deck of the USS Telugu, and it's a reel-to-reel tape that the group recorded to let him know that he's still around. I mean, they just have this incredible rich history, and actually a really rich history of their recordings changing the shape of collegiate a cappella.
Would I be wrong to compare them to the Yankees a little bit? I mean, they are considered kind of the preeminent group.
Everyone in the country sort of looks to them to set the agenda for recording. A few years ago, they recorded this album called Code Red that was so imitative and so basically so worked on in the studio and so produced that their a cappella recording sounded indistinguishable from the original tunes. And that sort of marked a shift in the recording community in a cappella. And they'll spend $30,000 recording an album. I mean, phenomenal sums of money for a collegiate group, especially. I mean, there are indie bands that couldn't come close to spending $30,000 on an album.
Let's listen to the Bubs for a moment.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Mata uimade. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Ibitsu o shirita.
These guys, when they go on tour, can be real sex symbols.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think the funniest part about collegiate a cappella is maybe if you just hear about it in your mind, you think, oh, it's going to be glee clubs and it's going to be, I don't know, really quiet and conservative, and it's nothing like that at all. I mean, the front rows at these shows are freshman girls screaming, just huge, huge reactions.
Let me ask you about University of Virginia, the a cappella scene, because as you've noted, it's very rich.
Yeah, I mean, there's this incredible day, this big orientation event on the lawn at UVA called Rotunda Sing, where 4,000 students will turn out to watch these guys sing Justin Timberlake covers without instruments. There's 3 all-male groups at UVA. The hobos wear robes, the academical village people wear those gas station shirts, and the Virginia gentlemen, of course, wear khakis and ties. Mm-hmm. And there's an R&B group, and there's a Christian group, and all the groups are set up to hold auditions, and you just see kids going from room to room to audition for all the different groups.
Let's play something, if we can, from UVA. It's called One.
Have you come here for forgiveness? Have you come to raise the dead? Have you come here to play Jesus? To the lepers in your head. Ask too much, more than a lie. You gave me nothing, now it's all I got.
Now, this was your favorite, wasn't it?
I think that was probably my favorite performance of the year. I mean, to sit those two guys, Patrick Lundquist and Brendan Mason, just have huge, huge voices, and the song is fantastic, the U2 song, and you could just see in the audience they sort of sit up and sit in a different way when the hobos start to sing that song. There's just such that this kind of visceral response to that sound. There's a lot of guys, especially in the hobos, who never sang before in their life, and they just come to campus and they see the excitement about collegiate a cappella, and they say, I want to be a part of that. And they do it and they love it, but they're not classically trained musicians.
A cappella is not portable through your life, at least not so far.
Well, there is that feeling, that sort of graduation, that your music career has an expiration date.
Does that make the experience a little more poignant?
I think it does entirely. I mean, in the same way that you always look back on college as this time of big promise and everything is the future and everything is what's going to come next and how much excitement there is in that. I think you feel the same way when you look back on your a cappella days. And isn't it nice that you have those incredible memories? And it's just sort of a natural progression in life.
Mr. Rapkin, what song do you think we ought to go out on?
I think maybe the Beelzebub's Come Sail Away, which closed their most recent album.
Mickey Rapkin, senior editor for GQ, author of the new book Pitch Perfect, The Quest for Collegiate Acapella Glory. Thank you so much.
Thank you.